everyone, and welcome to another episode of Joyous Journeys Over 60. I'm Jane Ray, and I'm here with my podcast partner,
Andrea Stein. Nice to be with you again, Jane.
Yeah, it's beautiful, beautiful spring day here in Southwest Florida.
Yes, it is.
Everybody's feeling really good. Summer's coming, which for Floridians is not necessarily our favorite time of year.
No, it's hurricane season and it's really, really hot and humid.
It is, but it's hot and humid in other places too.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess, you know, we shouldn't complain because we get really nice winters.
Still prefer hot and humid over snowy and icy.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So, you know, Andreas, we've talked about so many interesting different topics over the course of our time together doing podcasting. And I think today we have something that's a little bit fun.
Here we go.
And I think as a listener, maybe is a little bit of a stretch, but we want to talk about advice to yourself, right? So if, you know, I can't even say the word 70.
You are 70 years old, Jane.
No, really, when the heck did that happen?
Actually, I heard somebody turning 90 say this. How in the world does this happen? I just was a teenager yesterday, and now I'm 90.
Exactly. And you know, the time does go very, very quickly. And when you think back,
yeah,
you know, I mean, I may be 70 on the outside, but I think I'm still, I don't want to say 25. I'll be generous and say somewhere between 35 and 40 on the inside. That, you know, you kind of wake up and you go, wait a minute, my mind and my body aren't in sync with each other.
So would you like to be a teenager again?
Heck no. I would not.
Come on, why not?
I would not want to be a teenager and all the confusion and hormones and all that. I don't even want to be in my 20s. I mean, I think your 20s is
what was the best time of your life, Jane?
I would say for me, my late 30s into my 40s was probably my favorite time. But I will honestly admit that my absolute favorite time is now.
Yes.
And the last, and truthfully, the last 10 years or so.
Yeah.
You know,
that's when you retired, right?
Yeah, I only retired 2 years ago, but it was when I was still working. But, you know, the kids were grown and developing their own lives. And of course, if you've listened, you know that I remarried and we had really amazing opportunities to travel around the world. And, you know, we've had some fantastic experiences. And so, you know, having done a lot of things before that, responsibilities, the joyful responsibilities, raising a family, working, all of that. But also having the opportunity to not worry about traveling. You know, not worry about, oh, my God, what are we going to do with the kids or, you know, working their way through school and things like that. So I think that, you know, when you reach that age where you're kind of empty nesting, but on the other hand, you also have a certain amount of freedom, is a fantastic time, which is why we call this Joyous Journeys Over 60, right?
Right.
Because they should be joyous. But I think, you know, when you reflect backwards, I guess it comes down to, with all the wisdom that we now have, right, now that we've aged. I mean, you're much younger than I am, but you've had some time to, you know, to kind of go through your life experiences and whatever. And you think back and go, wow, what are the things I would have done differently? What are the things that, if I knew then what I know now?
You know, when you mentioned this, the first thing that comes to mind, so I mentioned this in a previous episode. So I grew up in North Central Germany. Hanover is my hometown. And, you know, born into a distinct blue-collar family, enjoyed life. In my wildest dreams, I would have never imagined that my life at age 53, which I am right now, would be what it is today. And that sometimes makes me think, so how will my life 10 years from now be totally different than what I anticipate right now? The fact of the matter is, to some degree, my hopes and dreams came true, but in so many other ways, life has developed so radically different. So part of an advice that I think my younger self would give to me is just calm down. You have no idea which way life is going to take you. If you think you have it all neatly mapped out, you know, and 1 year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, 7 years from now, this will going to happen this and this and this way. It's funny. That's not how it's going to be. Life is going to take you in unexpected directions. But this is not a threat. That's a promise. That's a beautiful thing. Life has surprises waiting for us. I can't wait to see them, what they are.
But most of us are not raised there. So I think the first thing, you know, we can talk about is, okay, so what advice would your 20-year-old or 30-year-old or 40-year-old give you today? If you could have a conversation with that person, what would they tell you? And I think the first thing is expect the unexpected.
Yeah.
Right? That the journey kind of writes itself in some ways. And
no, when you were 20 years old, do you think your life at age 70 was that? Yeah. At age 70 would be what? Did your 20-year-old think that 70-year-old Jane would live the life she's living today?
No. And I would tell you, first of all, my parents did not make it to 70. So that's a very, you know, my dad died at 61. My mom died at 66. So just even being 70 is a blessing.
Yeah.
Because and now my grandparents made it to their 90s. So I figure I've got some genes in there. But I think that I worried a lot about things that I wanted to have happen that I was concerned wouldn't happen. I worried a lot, not when I was in my early 20s. Early 20s, you just live your life, right? You know, you work to enjoy and, you know, you pay your rent and hopefully you have a car and the rest of the time is all about happiness, right? Just trying to, I don't know, follow the crowd or lead the crowd, depending on who you are. But it's a transition time, right? I always think your 20s are a transition time from when you were a kid, right, to now you're testing out being an adult.
Right.
And you probably don't have it completely organized, this adulting thing. You know, adulting is now a verb, right? So adulting is something you start to do in your 20s and hopefully by the end of your 20s. My son's 29 and he said to me the other day, he said, you know, Mom, I'm 29. It's time for me to get my stuff together. And so there is, right? There's a turning point, I think, at the end of your 20s. And usually by the end of your 20s, you're starting to think about family, you're starting to think about career, you know, you're very focused on achievements. I want to buy a house, I want to have a family, I want to get married.
Is that what adulting means? Having a house, starting a family?
Maybe in the truest terms, that I'm an adult if I have a house, and I'm an adult if I'm married, and I'm an adult if I have a child. And I guess it's if I'm an adult if I have responsibilities, right? That my responsibilities now are requirements as opposed to options. And so I do think that when you head into your late 20s, early 30s, you're starting to think about that. Like you're starting to think about achievements. What have I achieved? Personally, professionally, socially, when you're starting to, maybe that's not everybody, right? Maybe that's not everybody. They say some people live to work, other people's work to live. But I do think that, you know, you're generally more responsible, or you have more responsibilities in your, right, in your 30s, even going into your 40s.
Right.
What was your favorite time?
You know, I've reached that age, and my wife and I sometimes talk about this at the breakfast table. If we could freeze time and everything stays the way it is right now, this would be perfect. We really enjoy our life today more so than probably at any other time in our lives. Now, my wife moved from Romania to Germany to the US. I moved from Germany to the US. We moved around, you know, for jobs. And we've reached this point. Life is good today. If everything just stays the same, wouldn't that be perfect? You know, I agree with you. If you would ask me what's been the worst time, you know, there is a reason I would never go to a high school reunion. And besides the fact I would have to travel over to Germany and timing, time-wise, it would be challenging to squeeze a trip like that in. But, you know, I would never want to go back to my high school days. It was, you know, it was a tough time. And I'm kind of happy to have moved beyond that. You know, so for me, that it's almost easier to answer the question, what was the most difficult time, the worst time, I don't know what the right adjective would be, the best time today.
Yeah. And maybe that's not the same for everybody, right?
Yeah,
maybe
that's obviously not
right.
Yes.
Maybe there, you know, people have run into roadblocks or challenges or tragedies that have affected them.
Right.
But let's start with, if your younger self were going to tell you something, some piece of advice from, let's say 30, right? Because 20s, you know, teenager 20s is probably still a little flaky. But let's say somebody is 30, you're 35, and you're giving advice to your 53-year-old self. What do you think that advice would be? It's a hard question.
It is a hard question because, and the first answer that came to mind, I was trying to formulate in more practical terms, is, you know, at age 30, 35, you are still close enough to that youthful enthusiasm, this young adult enthusiasm, so there is this confidence that can do this, you know. And you know, often life beats you down a little bit more once you, you know, grow a little bit older and, you know, and, you know, so the first thing that came to mind is what a 30, 35-year-old me would tell my 53-year-old me is, you can be more confident, you know, whatever challenge will come, I mean, you'll handle it. You'll figure it out, but you get there. You know what I understand? Part of adulting, I like that verb, part of adulting is to plan, to have goals, to develop a strategy, and then find ways to implement it. But then on the flip side, there is also that part of life is, hey, I'll figure it out as I go along. And you can't eliminate either end, you know. And I think, you know, my 30-year-old self would maybe say, you know what, just there. Be okay with figuring it out as you go along because you have what it takes to figure it out.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. I think when I was in my mid-30s, the early 30s for me were tough.
Yeah.
You know, I had some challenges having children and that, you know, caused a lot of anxiety and stuff like that. But I worried a lot about the future.
Yes.
When I was in my 30s, I worried a lot about the future. You know, what if? What if I don't have children? What if we don't buy a house? What if we get an illness? What if, you know, I worried a lot about the future. And I think if my 35-year-old self, even my 40-year-old self, could have a conversation with my number not to be mentioned self, I think it would be worry less, enjoy more, right? Trust more, follow the path. You know, do the right thing, do what you need to do, and it'll work out. And I think it's very similar to what you said. You have what it takes to deal with a lot of different things, right? You know, be a good person, do the right thing, live your life, enjoy yourself, and stop worrying about tomorrow. The past happened. What is it? What's the saying? You know, you can't change yesterday, and tomorrow hasn't happened yet. And so focus on the present. And I think that would be advice that would probably make me less anxious. Now, fast forward, and you start to think of all the things you worried about, and some of those were, you know, pretty inconsequential, right? Some of the things you worried about, you know, what do they say? Don't sweat the small stuff.
Right.
And then other things you had no control over.
You know, I think another lesson that my 30-year-old would tell my 53-year-old self of today, and I actually try to try to apply this lesson every single day. So it's not like that I've forgotten this. You know, at a younger age, we laugh a lot.
It's true.
And we lose our laughter as we grow older because life throws experiences at us that go beyond, oh, that's a nuisance. Some stuff really is tough. And somehow our laughter freezes in our throat. And we learn this ability just to be silly, to laugh, to giggle, to enjoy life, to just have a good time, you know, and feel good about it. So I think part of something that my younger self would compliment me on, but would also be the advice, make sure you never lose that laughter, that ability to just laugh, just that ability to enjoy it, just to laugh out loud, you know. And in our faith tradition, you know, there is this verse in the Old Testament, you know, that a cheerful heart is good medicine. Laughter is medicine for the soul, you know, and laughter heals. I think my younger self would remind me, never let anything steal your laughter.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's so important because as we get older, some of us, probably more than some, tend to become more cynical.
Yes.
Right? We tend to become more cynical.
Good observation.
We tend to look at younger people more cynically. I remember when my parents looked at me cynically, you know, in the 70s. We tend to become a little grumpier. I'm not really 100% sure why. Maybe it's like been there, done that. I don't know. But we sometimes don't find joy in even small things. We're waiting for, and I think that's part of it. We're waiting for something, whether you're 30, 35, or whether you're 70, somehow there's always like waiting for something to happen or the perfect combination of things to go right or to go wrong, right? We're always in kind of that waiting place and we forget to find joy. And to laugh and to just experience. I would tell you the one thing my younger self would tell me is that the only thing that counts is being able to who you love and who loves you, right?
Yeah.
The rest of it is important. I'm not saying it's not, but don't lose sight of what really counts, which is who you have around you, what you do for others, others do for you, like that giving, serving, loving heart. Don't lose that just because of cynicism and, you know, and all of that. Let me flip it around now. What would your 53-year-old self tell your 30, 35-year-old self?
Yeah. Over the years, I found there are certain people, no matter how much I try to explain how I feel, what I think, what goes through me, they just don't hear me. And then there are some people, it's like I don't even need to say a word, they understand my silence. And you learn to really appreciate the people. They just take one look at you and they know what goes through your heart. They somehow get you. And words are still needed, but you don't even need to find the right words to express it. And then we've been around people, we try to explain for 25 minutes and it feels like you're talking against a wall. And I think part of my advice is, you know, for my 53-year-old to my 25, 30-year-old is, just really learn to see the people who get you without having to speak 500,000 words, explain it. They hear you in your silence louder than many hear you speaking tons of words.
And it's hard to find those people. Those people are very rare.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah, it's very rare, but you should still seek them out.
And if you, and this may not even necessarily be a spouse or a partner, it can be a friend, it can be a neighbor, it can be a coworker, it can be any number of relationship. you know, but if you found this person and you just know he or she gets you, gets your heart, gets who you are, that is so precious. And never let go of that person.
Yeah, and it, and unfortunately, time, distance, sometimes we lose people in our lives. Not lose them because they've passed away, but lose them because we lose connections. We, you know, again, we move into a different social group or whatever. And sometimes we ignore the fact that these are people that are important to us. And we have to make an effort.
I remember a friend. So this would take me now back. I was probably in my early 20s. So not even early 20s. So what is that? About 33 years ago or so. A friend, she was much older than I was, and, you know, we would talk, and she would just understand me and understand, and I remembered us talking, you know, and I remember the last time we talked, like it was a couple of days ago, you know, and she said, well, next time let's meet over a beer and talk more. And she died 3 or 4 years ago over in Germany. Obviously, life has taken me in a lot of different directions since then. But she was one of those persons. I mean, you know, these people, you may not see each other for 4 years, but somehow once you get together after 4 years, it feels like just 3 minutes have passed and you connect right away. And there is just, that person gets you. No matter how much time has passed, no matter how what different parts of the world you live in, that person just gets you. And that's precious.
Keep those people.
Yeah.
That's really what it comes down to. My advice to my younger self is maybe a little bit different. So if I were going to talk to my 35-year-old, because my 25-year-old would not be mature enough for this advice, the advice would be, what are you waiting for? Right? So many times we want to do something, whatever it is. We want to travel. We want to change jobs. We want to move somewhere different. You know, we want to, I don't know, elevate our educational experience. And we talk about if, or someday I would like to blah, blah, blah. So my message to myself would be, what are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the stars to align? Are you waiting for a message from the heavens? Are you waiting for whatever? Sometimes you have to just take the step. And this, you might fail, right? It might not turn out the way you wanted it to, but you took the step, right? You did something. My ex-husband and I, we wanted to live in Florida. And we tried the legitimate way, getting a job and all of that, right? And we literally just picked ourselves up and moved. No jobs, you know, no nothing. And people thought we were nuts. I mean, they thought we were insane. We quit our New York jobs and we rented our house and packed up the car and, you know, and all of that. And it turned out to be the best thing we could have ever done. Now, it might have not turned out well. That's true. I mean, we were taking a risk. But it was one of those things that we met this doctor and he said, what are you waiting for? He said, you can always think of 10 reasons not to do something. Sometimes you have to think of the one reason that you should. And that stuck with me for a long time. Because the other thing I've learned in my years is it's all about the experience. Things break. Things, you think you're getting status from things, or you think you're getting joy from things, or and all of that. You know what? They go away. They're momentary pleasures, but experiences you carry with you forever. So if you're going to spend money, you're going to invest, you're going to plan, then plan for experiences, because those are the things that give you joy. Whether it's moving to Florida, which is pretty radical, or if you like the theater, or if you you know, want to play a sport, or you want to start painting, or whatever it is, what are you waiting for? Right? What are you waiting for? And so sometimes you have to remind yourself when you're younger, because we're so serious, right? We're so serious that we, you know, we have to. In your 30s are probably a lot of have to's. You know, you have to go to work and you have to pay the mortgage and you have to go grocery shopping. And sometimes it's just fun to you know, think about, okay, if I ruled the universe, what would I be doing today?
You know, my wife used that line numerous times, you know, and it's just so simple, but so true. You know, later never comes. You know, we say this all the time, I'll do this later, I'll do this later. Strangely, later never comes.
And for some people, later never did come.
Yes.
You know, as much as I tease about not being able to say the words, there are people that didn't make it to 70. My parents didn't make it to 70. And so I'm very proud of that, right? I'm proud of a lot of things. But I also think that, you know, people wait till they're retired, or they wait till they're, you know, fill in the blank, right? Wait till, and again, I would repeat, what are you waiting for?
What are you waiting for? You know, later never comes for it so many times, because even if you tell yourself, I'll do it when I retire, let's use that example, well, then you retire and suddenly there's 500 reasons why now is also not the right time, and I'll do it later.
Right.
Later never comes, unless you do it now.
Exactly. Now, there's planning that's associated with what are you waiting for, right?
Right.
So if you say, I want to do this, and you don't have the money for it, or you don't have the time for it, or whatever, okay, and then you start a plan, right? And you set a goal date, and you do all of those things. But it really comes down to, particularly at this age, let's forget about our 30-year-old self. At this age, I don't know if later's going to come or not, right? I mean, we don't know. And so you got to make the most of today, because later may not come.
Later, you know, and at our age, we all have seen people, been around people who, from literally from 1 second to the other, out of the blue, something happened and life came to a radical end. You know, as a pastor, well, funerals are part of what I'm doing, and there's more than one person I remember where the surviving spouse tells me, you know, we just walked into whatever the place is, and he or she just collapsed there, heart attack, and 1 second to the other, it was all over.
Yeah.
You know, and it makes you pause, you know, and fortunately, these are still exceptions. That's not the norm, but it's still real.
Well, my daughter reminded me the other day, which I didn't really like her reminding me of this, but it was good because she was talking about her in-laws. And she said, you realize you're one fall away from potentially having to go into assisted living or a rehab. And I said, well, thank you for that reminder. But the point is, it isn't just passing away. It could be that physically you have something that's going to hold you back. And I told you on my cruise ship episode, I've seen a lot of people not be held back. But the truth is, it changes your lifestyle.
Right? Of course it does.
So if you're not going to enjoy today, what about tomorrow? Right? What's going to change for you tomorrow? So we're running out of time, but I think this is important that for our listeners to talk to yourself.
Yes.
Talk to your younger self, right? And of course, if you have children, friends, whatever, they don't want to hear your advice, but give it anyhow.
Right, we go.
Right? And, you know, share your wisdom. But also think about what your younger self would tell you today in terms of how to live the rest of your life.
Right.
Because it's easy at this age to get stuck.
Yes,
you know,
it is.
It's so easy to get stuck because I'm old, right? Or I have medical challenges. There's a lot of reasons, as that doctor said to you, there's a lot of ways to think about why you shouldn't do something. You got to come up with the one reason that you should.
Right.
And that's having a conversation with your younger self.
Yes.
Right? You know? A channel that we use the term. Have you ever heard this term, seenagers?
No, I have not.
We are seenagers.
There we go.
Senior agers. We are now seenagers.
Oh, there we go.
And so I like to think I'm a little bit of a seenager. So there you go. Anyhow, thank you. I mean, really great insight.
Thank you so much for the time and your wisdom as a 70-year-old.
Yeah, I know. I'll get used to the word.
There we go.
I'm not there. But I am proud to have reached this milestone. I said something my parents didn't. Anyhow, thank you for listening. Joyous Journeys Over 60. I'm Jane Ray, and I'm with
Andrea Stein.
I'm wishing you a blessed day.